Chapter 2. Trouble in Iping. For the next few months, the stranger worked in his sitting room with his bottles of chemicals. Sometimes Mrs. Hall heard the sound of glass breaking. Sometimes she heard the stranger shouting angrily to himself. Mr. Hall did not like the stranger and did not want him in the pub. But they had no other visitors, and the stranger paid her every week, so Mrs. Hall was happy. Most days, the stranger started work early and worked all day. He did not go out until the evening. When he went out, he walked along dark, quiet paths and under the trees. Even on warm days, he wore a hat, scarf and gloves. He did not talk to anyone, and he did not answer questions. The village children were frightened of him. Mrs. Hall explained to the people of the village that the stranger was a scientist, and he was doing important experiments. His hands and face were hurt in an accident, so he wore a lot of bandages, and he did not like people looking at him. But many people in the village did not believe this story. "He's a dangerous man. The police are probably looking for him," they said. "They want to talk to him about an important crime." But they could not guess what crime it was. Cuss, the village doctor, was very interested in the stranger. He needed some money to pay for a nurse to help him, and he was asking all the richer people in the village. He decided to visit the stranger too. He wanted to ask him for money, and maybe ask him some questions about his accident. He went to the pub, knocked on the sitting room door, and went in. He was in there for about 10 minutes, and then Mrs. Hall heard a cry of surprise, a chair pushed back, and some laughing. The door opened, and Dr. Cuss ran out with a white face and frightened eyes. Dr. Cuss went immediately to see his friend, Mr. Bunting, the vicar, who was at home, writing in his office. "Am I crazy?" he asked the vicar. "What's happened?" "That man at the pub," said Cuss. "I went to see him. He was sitting at his desk with his hands in his pockets. I asked him for some money to help pay for the nurse. We talked about it for a few minutes, and he agreed. Then I asked him about his experiments. He explained that he had a problem. He's lost an important letter with the names of 5 chemicals. He was working by the fire one day, and the letter fell into it. He can't remember which chemicals were in the letter, so he has to do a lot more experiments. Then he took his hand out of his pocket. But there was no hand, just an empty sleeve. I could see up the sleeve, and there was nothing there." "Well?" asked Bunting. "So," said Cuss, "I asked him, 'How do you move an empty sleeve?' Then he did something very strange. He moved his sleeve up to my face, and then something, maybe fingers, pulled my nose. But there wasn't anything there. I hit the sleeve, and I'm sure that I hit an arm. But I couldn't see an arm." "That's a very strange story," said Bunting. "Very strange." Every year, at the beginning of June, there was a village fete in Iping. The morning before the fete, Mrs. Bunting woke up suddenly at about 4 o'clock. She could hear someone downstairs. She woke Mr. Bunting, who listened for a minute, and then got out of bed. Mr. Bunting went down the stairs quietly, holding a heavy walking stick. Mrs. Bunting followed him. Someone was in Mr. Bunting's office. They heard the desk opening, and someone was moving papers. Mr. Bunting looked through the door and saw the open desk, but he could not see the thief. Then he heard the sound of coins, and he knew that the thief was taking his money. He ran into the room, waving his stick. The room was empty.
"But there was someone here," said Mrs. Bunting.
"And there were 3 pound coins in that desk," said the vicar. "They've gone." Then they heard the back door open and close. Mr. and Mrs. Hall were also up very early that morning. There was a lot of work to do, because the day of the fete was always busy at the coach and horses. When Mr. Hall went downstairs, he noticed that the front door of the pub was unlocked. "Mrs. Hall locked the door before we went to bed," he thought. "Why is the door open again, early in the morning? It's that stranger." He went upstairs to the stranger's room. He knocked. There was no answer, and he went in. The room was empty, but the stranger's clothes, bandages, and hat were all on the bed. Mr. Hall went back down to the bar to tell his wife. As they talked, they heard the pub door open and close. They went back upstairs to the stranger's bedroom and looked again.
"It's strange," said Mrs. Hall. "He's gone, but his clothes are here. Why hasn't he put on his clothes? And feel the bed. It's cold, so he left more than an hour ago. I'm worried because he hasn't paid his bill this week. He's waiting for some money from his bank."
Suddenly, the stranger's hat jumped up and flew around the room. Then it flew straight into Mrs. Hall's face. Then a chair jumped up, its 4 legs pointing at Mrs. Hall. It pushed her and her husband out of the door. Mrs. Hall screamed, and they both ran downstairs. After a few minutes, the bedroom door opened again. It was the stranger, in his hat and coat. He came down the stairs and into his sitting room. Mr. Hall was very frightened, but he wanted to talk to the man. He knocked on the door and put his head into the sitting room.
"Go away," said the stranger, "and close the door behind you."
Mr. Hall turned and left the room. It was 5:30 a.m. when the stranger went into his sitting room, and he stayed there all morning. Mrs. Hall did not take him any breakfast. Mr. and Mrs. Hall now knew about the thief in Bunting's house, and they thought that the stranger was the thief. Because it was a holiday, some of the young men of the village were outside the pub. They could hear the stranger in his sitting room, and they tried to see him through the window. At about noon, the stranger came out of his room and went into the bar, which was now very busy.
"Where's my breakfast?" he asked Mrs. Hall. "You haven't paid your bill," she told him. "But I'm waiting for some money from the bank. I told you that on Friday."
"But I can't wait," she said.
The stranger put his hand in his pocket.
"I have found a little money," he said.
"Where did you find it?"
asked Mrs. Hall.
"And before I get you any breakfast, I want you to tell me something. Why was your room empty? How did you get in and out of the pub? And how..."
"Stop!" shouted the stranger. "You don't understand who I am or what I am, but I'll show you."
He put his hand over his face and then took it away. There was no nose now, just a black hole. He gave Mrs. Hall something. A bright pink paper nose. She screamed and dropped it on the floor. Then he took off his glasses, bandages, moustache and beard. He stood in front of them. A man up to the top of his shirt, and then nothing. People in the village heard the shouts from the pub and ran up to the door. Frightened people were running out of the pub into the street.
"He's got no head," they were shouting.
The village policeman was outside the coach and horses now, talking to Mr. Hall.
"It doesn't matter if he has a head or not," he said. "He's a thief. He took the money from Bunting's house. I'm going to go in and arrest him."
He went into the pub with Mr. Hall behind him. The stranger had some bread and cheese from the pub kitchen, and now he was in his sitting room, eating. When they went in, Mr. Hall and the policeman could not see a head, but they could see that the man had a piece of cheese in one glove and some bread in the other.
"What do you want?"
asked the man with no head.
"I've come to arrest you," said the policeman.
The stranger stood up, pulled off a glove, and hit the policeman in the face with it. The policeman caught the stranger's invisible hand and then put his other hand on an invisible neck. The stranger hit him hard in the chest and head, but the policeman held on.
"Get the feet!"
shouted the policeman. Mr. Hall got down on the floor and tried to hold the stranger's legs, but the man kicked him hard in the face. More people were now coming into the room to help the policeman.
"All right," said the stranger. "I won't fight any more."
He stood in front of them with no head and no hands. Then he started to take all his clothes off. The people in the room watched him with open mouths.
"So, you're invisible," said the policeman.
"Yes, but that's not a crime, is it?" said the invisible man.
"No," said the policeman. "But there was a crime at Mr. Bunting's house. I'm arresting you for that."
All the clothes were on the floor now, and the man was invisible. Something hit Mr. Hall in the face. The policeman felt a man push past him, and he put his arms around him. He was pulled out of the room and into the street, and then his head hit the ground hard. The invisible man escaped from his arms.
"Hold him!"
shouted one of the younger men.
He's invisible!
Shouted a girl. Down the road, a woman screamed as an invisible person pushed past her. Then, on the road out of the village, a dog flew into the air, kicked by an invisible foot. The invisible man was leaving Iping. The policeman was not moving. He was lying on the ground, in front of the coach and horses.